Today on Vox Talks Economics, where do we find successful entrepreneurs? Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics. Remember, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on Instagram as well at Vox Talks Economics. Let's get this money moving. What is the secret of a successful entrepreneur? We are up to our necks in advice about how to innovate in business, how to succeed as a founder, or how to spot a great startup. And yet, investors and incubators have a very patchy track record in picking winners. What if there was a better way to spot successful entrepreneurs? Konrad Stahl of the University of Mannheim and CPR, of course, is one of the authors of a discussion paper that has a very straightforward way to help investors spot potentially successful entrepreneurs. And he joins me now. Konrad, welcome to Vox Talks Economics.
Thank you. Money talks, now feel the heat, loop
it back, the ground's complete. Konrad, one obvious reason that it is so hard to spot successful entrepreneurs, it's because the chances of success are pretty low, aren't they? What proportion of startups survive?
Well, a very small one, and that is one of the problems that we are confronted with in picking successful startups.
Given all that failure and the waste of resources that comes with it, why are startups important to the economy?
The biggest firms in the world, the most expensive firms in terms of the valuation, are relatively young that talk about it. Google and Amazon and Apple and Meta, these are firms that have been given birth 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago at most. And these are firms that employ hundreds of thousands of people. And they are obviously valuable, in particular now in this case, to the US economy.
I think we might have answered my question. If we get better at spotting success ex ante, how does it help the economy? How does it help investors?
Definitely, we are not wasting as much money as we are wasting right now, in particular the state that is eager to support successful births doesn't want to waste as much money as often it does. Also, investors don't want to waste as much money as they do. I mean, venture capitalists obviously counting also on failure, but in the end, they want to have successful businesses rather than unsuccessful ones they help supporting. And once these businesses, which is kind of the standard venture capital strategy, once these businesses go public, they want to harvest a good sum for their investment.
Now, if you look in airport business books, I've read plenty of magazine articles. I'll be honest, I've written some of them over the years, promising a recipe for startup success, how to spot a good entrepreneur. What sort of other ideas do people have about this?
There are tons of ideas. Yeah. There is little in the scene that is written more about. I mean, there are tons of suggestions in the popular literature as well as in the scientific literature. The interesting thing is that we have a fantastic database from the Nordic countries. Only in the Nordic countries you can combine a lot of individual data that give the possibility to do a rather profound analysis. And that combination allows us to look at individuals and firms they found. And we can follow the individuals and we can follow the firms. In particular, we can follow the individuals before they have given birth to the firms. And we can look at the firms after they have been founded. And in that situation, we see that literally all the predictors that are typically used to predict success are dominated by our simple measure, previous success in dependent employment, the highest paid people. Is a predictor of success when they give birth to businesses.
Do scientists innovate because they're paid to do it or because they care about the outcome? Listen to our episode, Motivated Science and Green Innovation, first broadcast on the 1st of April 2022, in which Tim Besley explains how motivated scientists drive down the cost of innovation and accelerate the green transition.
Conrad, let's follow this story back to the beginning, because in the paper you trace it back to 1978. Bob Lucas publishes an article with a particular suggestion for who should be running startups. What was his suggestion?
It was a very simple one, which we followed, if you want, word by word. Mm-hmm. Individuals with the highest managerial skills, perhaps the highest paid in dependent employment, should start and should pursue the success of the most potent firms in the economy. And they do indeed create the most successful and the most potent firms in the economy.
These people are in dependent employment. As you say, they're working for firms. They're in management in larger firms. Why might we think it would be a good idea for them to be entrepreneurs?
Look, they have learned typically not only content, they didn't invent something only, but they also learned very simply how to run a business. Uh-huh. And when you have arrived at the top income echelon, independent employment, then you typically have run through several divisions, several sections of a firm, and you have performed different managerial capabilities. You have assumed responsibility for a number of people. You have learned how to run a business very simply. And that is obviously a very important contributor, the combination, if you want, of a business idea, which is often an invention, and managerial capabilities is the aspect that really contributes to the success of these formerly highly paid employees.
So if we're going to take Bob Lucas's suggestion seriously, which you have, and which seems, well, a very good idea, how do you test it? What do you decide to test?
We went through a laborious exercise in trying mm-hmm. to find predictors for successful entry into a market. We looked at the theoretical literature. There is plenty of theoretical literature on this. And we tried to combine all these elements, which are to some extent pro and to some extent con, giving birth to business, mm-hmm. and try to find something like a leading predictor. What we find is a relatively high success rate of people who give birth to firms that were successful before. We are talking about success in terms of income from dependent employment. That is, as dependent employees, they were in the top decile of the income echelon. They are doing apparently a job in giving birth to firms that are later on relatively successful. And the interesting thing is, you know, in our central resulting regression, when we use as a predictor the income decile independent employment, of course, for successful entry into the market, and we add all the variables, all the potential variables that could contribute in addition or separately to predict a successful entry, these variables turn out to be completely insignificant. They are not any interest. I mean, give you examples. Let me give you examples. Education, yeah. age, which indicates obviously experience. In fact, experience in previous business, whether or not your family is one involving business, so you were raised in a business environment, call it, all kinds of variables of this type, which are prima facie, super indicative of potential success, turn out to be uninteresting in our final regression. And that, I think, is quite startling.
It is quite startling. What might also be quite startling to people who haven't been following the research into what makes new businesses a success is to why this sort of research has not been done before. Why not?
It's an interesting point. If you want exposed, it is so obvious.
Yeah.
And they just try to find the non-obvious. We haven't finally published this paper. It might be difficult to publish it simply because the result is so obvious. Because, look, previous success predicts future success. The only thing we are talking about is that this future success is a highly risky and the probability of failure is very high. So the relative success we are predicting is with the previously successful people. So it's a very obvious statement. I don't think it has ever been, well, I'm sure, because we have tried very hard to find statements of this type. It has not been expressed this way, and it has not been analyzed in this way to exclude alternatives, essentially. We exclude literally all alternative predictors by considering this exposed obvious relationship.
So we have this very strong statement that the best determinant of success is to have been successful as a manager working in independent employment and have been successful at that in the past. We think about entrepreneurs being successful when business is disrupted, when it's not business as usual. Did you find that this is equally applicable during times when we would expect managerial expertise to be very relevant, and also when there are lots of new firms born?
First of all, we do not look at the markets that are served. We look at the individuals that are entering and doing something. So I cannot tell you whether their entry is disruptive in the classical Schumpeterian sense.
Yeah.
We simply don't know about this in our research. Also, I should say that we do not look at the firms for an extended period of time, for a long period of time. We look at these firms for 3 years after birth. This is a short period. And believe it or not, we would love to look at these firms in over a long period. It is very difficult to generate or to have, to assemble and to combine the data of the type we have combined and at the same time develop this data over a long period so you can observe the same entities over 20 or more years.
Venture capitalists and incubators, they're always looking for the right managers to put into place for these young firms. How strong a causal claim are you making here that if you have those managers, it's causing success?
Please be reminded that in many cases, the venture capitalists themselves exercise some deep managerial responsibilities in the firms they are supporting. The so-called business angels, yeah? And interestingly enough, by my take, there is a fine example. Now, I know German firms better than other firms because I'm German. SAP is arguably the most successful German firm these days, the IBM, the software firm. And the firm founders are kind of fantastic examples for our case here. The three central founders separated, went out of IBM at the time, created their own firm, became immensely successful. And what did they do with the income generated from that firm? They went into venture capital. And one after the other has become a successful venture capitalist, also in the form of a business angel. I mean, Dietmar Hopp and Hasso Plattner, just to give you examples, are not only investing into startups, but also advising startups in very much managerial detail to become successful eventually.
You have a very strong narrative, but it doesn't fit into what's usually written about. But why, considering the relationship that you have found is so strong, have we held on to these flawed narratives of what an entrepreneur should be for so long?
We don't use at the universe of successful births.
Okay.
We don't start from the universe of successful births. There's obviously the ones making the headlines of the newspapers and magazines of a different type, we call it. They are essentially out of higher education institutions. Look, take all of the ones I mentioned at the start of our discussion are successful births out of PhD studies. People went to get a doctorate and sometimes didn't even end it up. Mark Zuckerberg, for instance, he didn't his PhD at Harvard. The Google founders didn't finish their PhDs at Stanford. Steve Jobs, he did not finish his PhD. You know, he went out into entrepreneurial activities. These guys were obsessed with their idea and tried to implement that idea. That is clearly a different model of creating, involving the creation of firms. It's kind of the one that is making the headlines. Mm-hmm. What is making the headlines is the successful birth and not the unsuccessful one. And there are zillions of unsuccessful births of this type, which we never hear about. And I have to say that, as we talked about before, this is one which I think research should concentrate on, because you can learn from unsuccessful births as much as from the successful ones. But in this paper, we concentrated on the successful ones. Sorry for that.
Do you think that potentially your insight might not apply everywhere? You've looked at Nordic data, you've talked about the German market. Might that be fundamentally different to how entrepreneurial activity works in the US?
That is an interesting question, which is handled in our business as scientists as so-called external valuation. And in fact, all empirical results are to some extent dependent on the data you have sure. access to and your data you can generate these results from. The interesting thing is now that you cannot generate these results using US data because you are unable to combine the data in the way we do it for these Nordic countries, which is unfortunate. You know, we would love to repeat this study with US data. We cannot. Whether or not our results are directly applicable remains to be seen.
Should we be saying to some would-be entrepreneurs, no matter how committed they are, you know, you would be better off getting a job in a company and seeing if you're a good manager and learning about being a manager instead, and maybe making room for them by finding those successful managers in companies and encouraging them to quit and join startups instead?
Once you have a fantastic business idea, asking this guy to go back and to start as a dependent employee, that it seems to be kind of foolish. Yeah. Asking this guy to obtain serious managerial advice, and I'm five times underlying serious, is for sure a very, very useful advice. And I could advise everyone to do so. This is exactly what should be done. I don't know much about the venture capital scene, but it's possibly not an advice that is often honored in the venture capital scene.
Conrad, this is fascinating research, and let's hope that the right people are reading it. Thank you very much for talking about it.
Thank you for the interview.
If nothing else, this podcast might save people a lot of money at airports. The paper is called Successful Entrepreneurs Come from the Top End of the Earned Income Distribution. The authors are Nicholas Garnett, Lena Funa, Conrad Stahl, and Joachim Tug. It is Discussion Paper 20536 at CPR.
Vox Talks Economics is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Next time on Vox Talks Economics, does where we live still shape our tastes?